From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us today. My name is Alan Cairns, and it's my privilege to bring Let the Bible Speak to you. Let the Bible Speak's probably a new name to most of you, although this ministry has actually been bringing the gospel to large areas of the world for over 30 years. Now we're delighted to come to you for a half hour each day, Monday through Friday, and I trust that you'll make a point of joining us every morning. Some people start the day with a coffee, others with their TV set. I think you'd be better starting it with the Lord, first in the secret place, and then with us here on Let the Bible Speak. Since our name's new to many of you, it would be natural for you to wonder just who and what we are. I think that as you listen day by day, you'll find that we're old-fashioned Bible-believing Presbyterians who take a stand for Christ and His gospel in a day of widespread apostasy and compromise. We believe in preaching Christ and in calling men to repentance and faith in Him. We make it our practice to set Christ before believers as the great motivation to holiness. We don't preach principles. We preach Christ. If you listen carefully, you'll find that there's a world of difference, and for a Christian, that difference is one between bondage and victorious Christian living. We're fundamentalist in our commitment to the great cardinal essential doctrines of the gospel, and in our opposition to liberalism, Romanism, and unscriptural ecumenism, that is, the drive for church unity at the expense of biblical truth. We oppose this ecumenical activity, whether on the international level, as practiced by the World Council of Churches, or on the local grassroots level, where Bible believers are so often encouraged to join hands in professedly Christian social action with anybody who'll stand with them, whether those people are Protestants, Roman Catholics, or whatever. Joint Christian action is impossible when some of those participating are not Christians in the biblical sense of the word at all. We believe that such compromise is not scriptural and undermines the free, justifying grace of God received by faith alone in the righteous merits of Christ. That gospel is our passion. It's God's message for the conversion of sinners. It's His message also for the sanctification of saints. And it draws the line for Christians in their relations and fellowship with those around them. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and we echo his sentiment. So, day by day, that's what we'll seek to bring you, and I trust that the Lord will bless his word to your hearts. We'll seek to keep the program moving, and we'll bring you items of interest and challenge as the Lord leads. We'll also have some good Christian music. In fact, we'll go to that right away with the SMS choir singing, All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name.
Thank you.
Just a week ago, America, and it seems the rest of the world, was celebrating Halloween. To most people, even Christians, October 31st has no greater significance. But for us, it has a much more glorious significance. October 31st is Reformation Day. On this day, in 1517, Martin Luther nailed his famous 95 Theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany, and so commenced the Protestant Reformation, the great recovery of the New Testament gospel after centuries of its lying buried under layers of papal superstition. Each October, in our church, we celebrate the Reformation with special messages and presentations. This week, on Let the Bible Speak, I would like to honor that Reformation heritage by offering you a cassette or a CD of the story of Martin Luther in the first-person presentation that Dr. Ed Panosian made in our church some time ago. Dr. Panosian is the leading church historian in fundamentalism on Luther, and we'd like to make this available to you free of charge, so please feel free to write to us and ask for it. The mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. In this great hymn, Martin Luther speaks of being totally dedicated to God, whatever the opposition. Listen carefully to the words. For in just a moment, we'll be joining my congregation in Greenville as we turn to Psalm 138, verse 1, where David says, I will praise thee with my whole heart. And our subject, today and in the days to come, 100% Christians. I think that every Christian has found that the book of Psalms is a particularly personal book. How often in the ups and downs of life, whatever our circumstances happen to be, we have turned to the book of Psalms and have found something intimate, something very individual, something immediately fitting our need. And of course, that's not our imagination. nor is it merely a matter of coincidence. This is the book of worship, written mostly out of the deep experiences of the psalmists, so that what they wrote was not bare theology, though the Psalms contain deep theology. But they didn't write bare theology. They were not writing cold theory. They were writing not only even under inspiration, but they were writing out of the depths of experience, so that what they wrote is bound to touch us at our point of need. Because there's really nothing new under the sun. The things that you experience and I experience, the needs that we come across, the situations in which we find ourselves, have been common to the people of God throughout the centuries. And so what the psalmists found, we also will find. That's why this book is so intimate and immediately answering to our need. This is especially true of the 138th Psalm. This is a psalm that you'll find in every verse speaks to where you are. It speaks to what you feel, to what you experience, to what you hope for. It will touch you. This particular psalm will touch you. In every single verse, you'll find there's something suited to your need. David starts off the psalm with a word of the most intense devotion. And that's where I want us to start this morning. Don't get worried, I'm not going to go through the psalm. I may return to it in weeks to come, but I will not go through the psalm this morning. When I say we will start where he started, I mean we're going to look at this opening, intense expression of devotion. I will praise thee with the whole heart. As I read that, the very first thing that struck me was that David meant exactly what he said. This was no empty bombast. The psalmist was not here engaging in hypocritical drivel. When he said, I will praise thee with the whole heart, he meant that he praised God and he worshipped God with all his heart. And so should we. If there's one thing that the Lord detests, it is cold-heartedness or half-heartedness on the part of his people in their worship and in their service. Remember that this was the sin that ruined Israel and Judah. Concerning Israel, the prophet Hosea said in chapter 10, verse 2, their heart is divided. Though they spoke very promisingly, you would have to say, and if you and I were to have listened in, we would no doubt have been very impressed with the religious language that they used. Yet the prophet went on in the next chapter to say, Ephraim compasseth me about with lies, and the house of Israel with deceit. Their heart was divided. The same was true of Judah. You may recollect the words of Jeremiah in chapter 3 and verse 10. The Lord's complaint against Judah. Judah hath not turned unto me with her whole heart, but feignedly, saith the Lord. And it was this sin of half or cold-heartedness that led to the idolatry and the apostasy that finally engulfed Israel and Judah and brought them down to ruin. The same sin, you may recollect, was the sin that ruined the great church in Ephesus. Of all the New Testament churches, you would have to say that the church in Ephesus, in its early stages, stood out as a colossally successful church.
God blessed it and used it. And you could see the glory of God manifested in that heathen city that was known throughout the world for its worship of Diana. But the glory of God was manifested in His mighty saving grace in the lives of the Ephesian Christians. And yet, before the death of the last of the apostles, God had to say the words of Christ in Revelation 2, "Nevertheless, despite your orthodoxy, despite your stand for truth, despite all the good things that I have to say are to be found in your church, I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love." And the command was, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." The sad thing is, the candlestick was removed because they left their first love. This sin was even more blatantly the sin that ruined the Laodiceans. They were a rich church. They were a prosperous church. They were probably very numerous in the terms of modern American evangelicalism, in a day when we have been cursed with the materialistic thinking of a charismatic movement that has more denied the truth than promoted that truth. In a day when our thinking has been so skewed, this Laodicean church would have been held up as one of the great success stories of the age, with numbers of people, great riches, great progress, great prosperity. But the Lord said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth." And so he did. History is replete with examples of the same tragedy. Long ago, Isaiah spoke for the Lord when the Lord said, "This people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips do they honor me, but have removed their heart far from me." The Lord Jesus quoted that when he was speaking to the Jewish Orthodox group of his day. And he applied it to them, and then went on to tell them that their entire worship was in vain. They were ruined, drawing near with their lips, but not with their heart. Ezekiel said, "They hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." I want you to put that in a very simple, modern, and understandable context. They're in church. They know the language. They say all the right things. But their heart is consumed with the spirit and the materialism of the age in which they live. And though they know what to say, they do not love the Lord with all their heart. That's the sin that has cursed generation upon generation of professing Christians. So what David sets before us in this opening statement of Psalm 138 is something that's absolutely vital. Vital to the well-being of every individual Christian. Vital to the well-being of every Christian church. David's testimony is an honest testimony, but it's more than that. It's a call to all the rest of us, a call to wholehearted Christianity, or to be what I'll call 100% Christians. Now, I want us to start off very simply and think what it means to be 100% for God, what it means to be wholehearted. The psalmist says, "I will praise thee," and notice the words, "with my whole heart." The inclusion of that phrase, with my whole heart, would indicate that he's not talking merely about giving thanks. Oh, he's including that. But if you're giving thanks with your whole heart, then this is something that's going to spill over into every area of life. He's talking about the totality of his commitment to the Lord. Now, the heart in Scripture may at some point speak of that organ that's beating in your body. But in spiritual terms, it is speaking of the mind and the will and the affections. And when David says, I will praise thee with the whole heart, he is speaking of his sincerity. He's speaking of entire commitment. The commitment of an undivided heart. Thus, this text that we have taken this morning is something that challenges us. Not just do we know how to say the right thing, but is thy heart right with God? In this matter of the mind and the will and the affection. Of course, the word heart has an added significance. Paul said to the Romans in chapter 10, with the heart man believeth. So when David says, I will praise thee with the whole heart, the idea is that his faith finds expression in wholehearted praise, worship, and service to God. Now let's take this in the simplest, most straightforward possible manner. Clearly he wasn't half-hearted towards the worship and service of his God. 8 times in the book of Psalms, David states this about worshiping and praising and serving with the whole heart. It's interesting that 4 of those times are found in Psalm 119. You will know that that's the psalm about the Word of God. That's the psalm when verse after verse after verse, our attention is drawn to the Word, to the study of the Word, to the love that we should have for the Word, to our obedience to the Word. And in this psalm of the Word, 4 times he speaks of loving and serving and worshiping with the whole heart, as if to say that it is the study and the meditation and the application of the Word of God that will fire the heart to this true devotion. Let's understand this. There's an awful lot of Christians who mourn the coldness of their heart. But there's no big mystery to it. I'm going to be very pointed. And if it tramps in your toes, I have no apology. But there are Christians hypocritically lamenting, oh, my heart's not as warm as I want it to be. Some of you have been saved for 20 years and you've never once read through the Bible, the Word of God. You hardly know what it is day by day to take this book and open it up and get on your knees before God and before that book and meditate on God's Word until God works His Word into your heart. In the 39th Psalm, in a different connection, but nonetheless very applicable to us, the psalmist said, while I was musing, the fire burned. And let me tell you, that's the only kind of fire that a Christian wants in his heart. The fire that comes out of a musing, a meditating, a deep cogitation upon the Word of God. What's wrong in the lives of people who are half-hearted about the things of God? For the most part, they have a closed Bible. Closed Bibles lead to closed hearts. There's no way around that. The Psalm of the Word is the psalm in which he's expressing this wholehearted 100% worship and service of the Lord.
have been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I trust that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's broadcast. We'd be happy to hear from you. If you'd like to inquire further about the Free Presbyterian Church, comment on the program, receive our full-color quarterly magazine, and especially if you'd like to receive my booklet, A New Beginning, to show you how to be saved and sure you're saved, we would welcome your correspondence. You may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615, or email us at ltbs@freepres.org. We invite you to visit us also at our website, freepres.org, where you may listen to and download sermons from a number of our ministers. Thank you for listening today. I trust that you'll make sure to join us each morning, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock, as we Let the Bible Speak.